Okay, before we get started with the next section on intercession and petition, I'm going to turn your attention to this little booklet we gave you called Miracle Hour. This has been a very popular book over the years. We're not prescribing the method used in this booklet. Linda Schubert has to pray an hour. She divides the hour up into five-minute sections and covers, as it were, different aspects of prayer. So if you turn, if you would, to number two, page two, I'm sure, say, on your booklet, there's your circle with the 5 minutes spent in each prayer. So you spend 5 minutes in praise. Number two, 5 minutes in singing to the Lord. Number three, 5 minutes in spiritual warfare. She explains all that through the booklet. What we got this booklet for you is because she gives a nice way to define different language that we're using here today. Praise, intercession, petitions, repentance, forgiveness, and so on. So as you read through the booklet, you'll discover a nice description of each of those terms. If you want to pray this method, go for it. It's a nice method to use. Our experience, pastorally speaking, is particularly when people are just starting out trying to develop a consistency in prayer, what we're showing for today about taking 10, 15 minutes of prayer and dividing it into like praise, listening to God's word, repentance, and intercession is enough for most people to handle, particularly when they're first getting started. So, but we gave this book to you because it has a great description of those different languages that we've been using today. Also, I believe it's found, she gives a description too of the praises that Pat was talking about earlier in the teaching. She has the titles of Jesus. If you look to page 6 and 7 and 8, you'll find the litany of praise, as she calls it, which is all the different titles of Jesus, page 6, 7, and 8 in the booklet. Again, they're great to use in your prayer time too. So, and they're similar to the bookmark that we gave you. Okay, in your booklets, if you turn to the very back, we included some information for you on praise, particularly. Look at the very last two pages called "Glory to God in the Highest," which is the Gloria. And I want to give a description of an example of how do you take a formal Catholic prayer like the Gloria that we pray at Mass and turn it into praise. So you're familiar with it, of course, glory to God in the highest and on earth, peace to people, goodwill, and so on. You notice there's a section we say we praise you, we bless you, we adore you, we glorify you. Well, you know, in your personal prayer time, what you can do is turn that into praise. Instead of saying we praise you, say I praise you. Instead of saying we bless you, I bless you. Instead of saying, we adore you, I adore you. So you take a formal prayer like that and turn it into your own personal praise. And of course, what's highlighted in the yellow here is an example of turning that into your own personal praise. So again, it's taking what we're familiar with and bringing it into our personal prayer time and making it personal to you. Okay. If you turn over to Psalm 100, which was a psalm we used earlier today, how do you take scripture and turn it into your personal prayer as well? Shout joyfully to the Lord, all you lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful song, and so on. The yellow, what I did was turn that first line, shout joyfully to the Lord. I shout joyfully to the Lord. Or if you look at verse 3, know that the Lord is God, says the psalm. Say, I know that you are my Lord. So you just make it personal. It's taking God's word and praying it in a way that makes it personal to you. We claim ownership of the scripture that way, and it speaks to our heart in a personal way. And that's that. What the Lord does with that is he impresses our hearts and minds with the meaning of that word for us. Okay, so that's just a couple examples of how to do that. Okay, so where we have been so far before, we started off by saying it's important to make an appointment with God, which means setting a time in your Google calendar as to when you want to pray and meet with God, and be consistent with that as much as possible. Find a place that's ideal for you, that's good for you. And then we said the first thing you do is praise God. Okay, and then we said after you praise God, the second thing was you listen to him speak to you in the scriptures. Scriptures you can find anywhere. You can, if you want, you can risk it by opening up your Bible and finding any, just point your finger to any passage and begin reading. That's okay to do. You may get some crazy things that way, but that's okay. You can see what the Lord says to you through that. Or you can just go by the daily readings of the Mass that we have every day. They're easy to get online. Or you can say, hey, I'm going to read through the book of Mark or the Gospel of Mark. You just take a couple verses each day. We don't read for distance. We read for depth, meaning very simply, we just read so the Lord impresses our minds. You may just have one verse of scripture. That's all you need for the day. And so, but the Lord wants to speak to you, guide you through the scriptures. The third thing we said is just we finished the teaching repentance. Very simply, keep short accounts with God, right? And I often find that a person that's been daily repenting knows what they want to bring to the confessional as well. They have a good sense of what keeps showing up in their daily repentance and say, I need to bring this to the confessional. So it's a great preparation for the confessional. And now the last two we're entering into, the next is petition and intercession. This is on page 6. Now I'll give you a definition for you with petition and intercession. Petition is when I ask the Lord for things for myself, and intercession is when I ask the Lord for things for somebody else, okay? It's a very simple thing. Petition's for about me, and intercession is about somebody else. So let's take a look at Matthew chapter 7, and we'll look at verses 7 and 8. Matthew chapter 7, verses 7 and 8. Jesus says, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. He who seeks finds. And to him who knocks it will be opened. Okay, so we'll just stop right there. So we'll come back to that verse in just a moment. So just keep your finger there on it. But it's Jesus is saying ask. And in the literal Greek, it says ask and keep on asking. Seek and keep on seeking. Knock and keep on knocking. It's a continuous thing we do. God wants us to ask things for ourselves and for other people, for other situations. I know somebody once said to me once, well, I don't ask God for anything. And I said to them, well, you know, you're disobeying the Lord's word. He wants you to ask. He says it. He delights in answering our prayer. It brings joy to his heart to be able to answer our prayers. You know, as I'm sure many of you as parents, it brought joy to your heart to be able to provide something for your children, whether they be a young child or an adult child, and now maybe some of you for your grandchildren. It brings delight to provide something for them that makes their hearts filled with joy. What's the way the Lord is with us? He delights in answering our prayer. He delights in being able to hear the requests of our hearts and being able to answer them. So asking is part of our relationship with him, like a child asks of a parent, like we ask others for things that we have need of. God loves us as his sons and daughters. In fact, in Jeremiah chapter 33, the Lord says, call to me and I will show you great and mighty things. Call to me. Call to me is another way of saying prayer. He wants us to pray. He wants us to talk to him about the things in our life that we need and about the other situations in our life that we, for others, that we have concern for. Answer prayer is something God wants to do because he wants to bless his children. No less than a good parent wants to bless his sons or her sons and daughters. So ask, you shall receive. Besides that, in the Lord's Prayer, Jesus told us in the Our Father, give us this day our daily bread. That's a prayer petition. Give us today. We're asking for ourselves. And when we say, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, we're basically praying for intercession for other situations outside of us that we have concern for. So there's the two right there. In the Lord's Prayer, the Our Father, which is the prayer Jesus taught all of us to pray as his disciples. So right there is found his desire to answer our prayers. So as Pat mentioned earlier, I just want to reiterate that. I think sometimes when we have trouble with that, then it may be because of our image of God needs to be healed. And maybe because our image of God has been scarred or wounded in some way. Perhaps we do see him like a good friend of mine was raised in a boarding school. And they said that when they got a knock on the door, had to go see the headmaster, they would come out of their room, they walk down a long hallway, And there were the shadows of the sun setting, beginning to pierce through the hallway. And they knock on the door, and this big booming voice says, "Come in." This grouchy voice says, "Come in." That's their image of God. They said they grew up with, you know. So sometimes, you know, if that's your image of God or something like it, it's hard to call to Him so He can show us great and mighty things. You know, it's hard to believe He'll want to answer your prayers. So sometimes if you're struggling with that, that might be an area you need to look to. How do I see Him? Is it aligned with the Scriptures? Is it aligned with the heart of Jesus? Okay. So letter B here. So ask confidently in His love for you. Ask with boldness. Let's take a look, going back to Matthew chapter 7 again. Let's pick up with verse 9. Jesus continues to use this analogy. He says, "Or what man of you, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a serpent? If then you who are evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him?" So Jesus is basically saying right there that if you want to give good things to your children, and yet we're all full of at times of sin or mistakes and failures and shortcomings, God, who's all good, and there's no shadow of turning to Him, how much more does He want to give good things to His children? So we're to ask with confidence in His love for us. We're to ask with His trusting in His wisdom for us. We're to ask knowing that He's a powerful God. He's the Lord God Almighty, you know? And we can ask knowing that He's a God of goodness. That's His nature that Jesus has revealed to us. So a question people ask is, well, how do I know what I'm asking is God's will? Okay? How do I know it's His will? And I know a lot of Christians struggle over that, and I often find over the years there's just a lot of anxiety in their struggle over that. It's a lot of nervousness when they come into prayer because they're not sure what they're asking is God's will. Well, there are certain things that are very clear revealed in His will, you know. You can look at the Scriptures and the teachings of that. But a lot of times we ask for things like, well, should I get involved in this, let's say, service to the church? Or should I move over to this part of town? Or, you know, should I take on this activity in my life? Or, you know, should I ask for, you know, maybe should I be involved in this situation? And we're just not sure because the Scriptures don't tell us. They don't have a blueprint that detailed for us. So they don't tell us that. So, and a lot of Christians are anxious then about when they ask God and not sure that's something that's good for them. So here's the way I look at it and approach it is something that we know is can be basically good, can be basically of good wholesomeness. Say to the Lord, "Lord, this would be great if you wanted this too. So I'm going to ask you for this." And here's the catch. Here's the catch. We invest ourselves in daily prayer, bringing that before the Lord, and one or two things are going to happen. Either you're going to get what you're asking for, or He's going to change your mind and bring your mind in alignment with what you need to be praying for in that situation. But if you don't invest yourself in prayer, you'll never know. You'll never know. That's why investing yourself in prayer, daily prayer, is so critical. Because all those gray areas that the Scriptures don't necessarily speak to, you know, should I get involved with this or that or do this or you know, even simple things like, should I change my schedule to fit this in? We can ask the Lord about those things. Do you want that for me, Lord? But we'll never know unless we invest ourselves in daily prayer. So I start off by saying, God, this is a great thing. I think, you know, it'd be a great thing if I could do this, and it'd be a great thing if you could want this too. So I'm going to bring it before you, and I'm going to pray. And I'm going to invest myself in prayer and either provide it for me or change my mind about it so I can be in alignment with what you want me to do in that situation. So that's why we are doing this seminar called Open Doors on daily prayer, because we think that a lot of the situations and questions that are the gray areas in our life, for example, that the Scriptures don't cover, can only be answered by you coming before the Lord daily in prayer and asking Him about those things and investing yourself in prayer. So as you can see, in approaching that, there is hopefully we're diminishing the level of anxiety about is this God's will or not? You know, that the key question is, am I willing to invest myself in prayer so I can be able to discern eventually if this is what he wants for me or not? So, okay, letter C. In praying for others, we are to ask as well. So this is for your own. We talk about petitions for yourself. Intercession is for praying for others. We invite you to keep a ledger of who you're praying for and what you're praying for. If you look down at the application letter F, it says fill in this ledger, and it says I am praying for the situation that you're praying for. And then let's say you're praying for one of your adult children. Maybe it's a job situation they're applying for, okay? And the date you begin to pray for them, and then what you're asking for, that my son or daughter gets this job, and then you invest yourself in prayer for your son and daughter regarding that job. Same thing. You ask the same thing. It's like, I'm not so sure it's your will that my son or daughter get this job, but it'd be a great thing if they could have this job and you would want it too. So I'm going to pray that you provide the answer for them, provide what they need in the situation, and one of two things. Either it's going to be provided for, or the Lord changes your mind so you can pray in alignment with that. And then the date it's answered. Why write things down like that? Because one is it keeps a record of how God is working in your life. And when you write it down, it's an expectancy he's going to answer you because you have it here. Date is answered. So it's to build up our level of expectancy. It's to build up our level of faith. So all of us, I believe, eventually should have a little journal with answered prayers in it for ourselves and for others. It's our written testimony of God alive and working in our lives. You know, St. John Paul II said that the church rests on the assumption, he says, that Christ is alive, he is working in history, and he's changing lives. How do we know that? Well, the testimony of people who have encountered him, their lives change, but also through answered prayer is how we also know it, that God's alive. And God is at work in history changing lives. Lives we're concerned about are our own and those that we're related to. So in praying for others then, is take a look, if you would, in your Bible to John chapter 15. John chapter 15, verse 7. If you abide in me, says Jesus, and my words abide in you, ask whatever you will, and it shall be done for you. The key word is abide, which means to invest myself in him. Ask whatever you will, and it shall be done. Again, the understanding is that if what I'm asking for is not going to be good for me or who I'm praying for, then as I invest myself in prayer, the Lord will change my mind to bring my mind in alignment with what he does want to do in that situation. But I'll never know that if I'm not abiding in him. I'll never know that if I'm not invested in him. So look at letter C there. What does God want in this situation? This is when you're praying for other people. What does he want as I'm praying for my son or daughter or praying for this is for others. We're praying maybe for church leadership, or praying for this small group I'm part of, or praying for this person's life. In this person's life, I'm praying for example, I use an example of this. I'm praying for Joe. Joe is like acting like the Antichrist, okay? So I say to the Lord, Joe's a really nice guy, but you know, he's acting like the Antichrist now. So, and he really needs to be acting like Christ. So here's Joe acting like the Antichrist, and here's what it means to be Christ-like. So Lord, you know how to bring Joe from over here to over here. You have the wisdom, the power, the love, and the goodness for Joe to get him from the Antichrist to being Christ-like. So I ask you to work in Joe's life and show your mercy. So here's what intercession is. It's God acting in a situation in which he didn't have to act, but he acts because somebody asked him to. Somebody's you, as you're praying for Joe or somebody close to you or some situation. Okay, let's turn to Luke chapter 18. Luke chapter 18, verse 1. Jesus was telling his disciples this parable about prayer. He says, and he told them a parable to the effect that they ought always to pray and not lose heart. When we pray for other people or situations that we have concern for, it's easy to lose heart, isn't it? And Jesus is warning his disciples and encouraging at the same time is that the temptation is to lose heart. But I think if we keep in mind who the Lord is, if we keep in mind his power, his goodness, his wisdom, his love, and that he wants to act in situations that we're praying for, then my prayer isn't based upon exactly if I'm seeing the answer right now or not seeing the answer. It's not based upon how long I've been praying for the situation. It's really based upon who he is, his goodness, his power, his wisdom, and his love for the people in that situation I'm praying for. And so what I'm praying for then, consistently invested in for maybe a certain person or a certain situation, is that my prayer really is flowing from the fact that he is good, he's all-powerful, he's all-wise, he's all-loving, and he wants to work in these situations, and he's put it on my heart to pray for that person or that situation so he can work in that situation. Now, intercessory prayer in our personal prayer time is something that we believe should be part of every prayer life. I don't think there's anybody here that doesn't have at least somebody they should be praying for or would like to pray for, okay? And of course, you have your own petitions and your own needs as well to pray for. It's always good, though, to join up with other people and pray. They can support you in prayer. This is where our small groups come in, particularly because people get a chance to know one another in small groups. And we encourage our small groups to have a time where they personally pray with each other to support one another. And we're going to do that in just a minute, take a pair off into twos, where we do pray with each other for whatever situation we're asking prayer for, maybe for ourselves or for somebody else. Some letter E, you can join your intercession to the Eucharist is always helpful. If you pray the rosary or you have litanies in your life, they're always helpful too. We don't believe that's a substitute for your personal prayer, and this aspect of praying for others and for your own needs in your personal prayer time, that should be something you do. But notice that the Eucharist is great to join your prayer of intercession to, or the rosary or litanies or things like that. Okay, so let's talk about the exercise we're going to go into in just a minute. Basically, we want you to pair off into twos, and I just want you to share with the other person something for yourself that you want prayer for, or a situation, a person in your life maybe, or a situation that you're concerned about. And the other person will listen to that and will offer a simple prayer of this: Lord, please work in so-and-so, whoever that your life, and in the name of Jesus I pray and I thank you. Okay, so where's the thank you come in? Let's look at Philippians chapter 4. Turn there. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Paul is talking about prayer, and he says this, verse 6. He says, have no anxiety about anything. You know how we have anxiety about the situations in our life that we're concerned about, or other people that we're concerned about? He has no anxiety about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. So Paul is saying that we are to ask the Lord for things, for ourselves or for other people, but we're also then to say, thank you, Lord, for working in that situation. So for example, if somebody comes up to you, or a good friend, and you say to the good friend, hey, would you please take care of this for me? And they say, sure, I'd be happy to. And you say what? Thank you for taking care of that for me. Have they done it yet? No. But you know your friend, and you trust them, and so you thank them ahead. Why? Because thanking them is a sign of confidence in your relationship to them. It's a sign of that you know they'll be integral to the word in which they said, I'll take care of that for you. You know, thank you for doing that. So when we pray, we add thanksgiving to our petitions, whether we're praying for somebody else or praying for ourselves. So the person across from you says, hey, I like prayer for this. And you say, Lord, please work in this situation and in the name of Jesus, because we pray in his name, you know, and we say, thank you, Lord, for doing that. And then the other person flips, you just flip it, and they'll share with you what they would like prayer for. Okay. So we're going to take 10 minutes to do that. We're going to ask you to pair off into twos, ask you to go to different places, take your chair, just move to different places so you're not close to one another. And again, we'll take 10 minutes to do that, and we'll be back by a little past. I'll call you back when we're ready to get back. Okay.